The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
So Jesus came to a Samaritan city named Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of this water, the water that I give them, will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming back here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah who is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything that I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of you that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Water, water everywhere, and... Well done. I've been thinking of this phrase quite often as we are going into a summer of drought, and yet every day I can look out and see the Pacific Ocean before me. Now, trust me, I am not going to promote a desalinization plant in my sermon. It's one of those polarizing issues in a community. But truly, we're going into a summer that reminds me of the mid-70s in California, and how many of you lived here during that time? Remember how we rationed water? We'd turn on the shower and like catch the cold water in the bucket so we could like water our few petunias out front that were straggling to make it. And lawns all went brown, and you stopped washing your car in the street. And as we have not had rain, I admit that I have started to pay attention more than usual. And I'm trying to remember to turn off the water when brushing my teeth or washing my hands or doing the dishes by hand. I've gotten lazy, lo, these 40 years later. But I keep thinking about how we're using our water, and I think that maybe I should turn my front lawn into a veggie bed so at least the water will be productive. And the vestry and the buildings and grounds and I are in discussion about replanting some of the front with drought-resistant plants. We know that we need to have water to live, both to nourish our bodies and to grow our food. Water is vital to our everyday life. And that's a message that we hear today in both the Old Testament and the Gospel readings. And I have to say, I loved that we got these two readings back to back today, as they reflect on one another of God's gift to us. We start with my good friend Moses and the wandering Israelites. And they camp in Rephidim, but there is no water to be found in this area of the wilderness. And as per their role, the Israelites complain to Moses, "Why? Why? It was so much better when we were slaves in Egypt. Why did you take us out?" And Moses, true to his role, tells them to stop it, and then whines to God, "Really?" You can kind of see this pattern. And then God instructs Moses on how to get water from a rock. Even God knows that we need water to live. And I am sure that today's gospel at the well harkens back to that water that sprang from the rock, that water that allowed the Israelites to walk just a little bit closer to the promised land. Today, the Samaritan woman comes to the well. She has been cast out, presumably, because of her many marriages, or shall we say, liaisons. She can't or won't come to the well in the mornings, in the evenings, when the rest of the women would be there. She truly has been cast out. So she comes alone in the heat of the day, the noonday, to get her water. When she arrives, we hear an odd exchange between Jesus and this woman. Jesus doesn't ask, but simply says to her, "Give me a drink." She's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. She's a woman. He's a man. In just those two defining points, there are many cultural and religious reasons why Jesus could and should ignore her. But instead, Jesus engages her. "Give me a drink." It's almost the opposite of Moses and God. God just gave it to Moses, but here Jesus engages her. Clearly, this woman is taken aback at Jesus' statement, and rather than giving him the drink, she questions him, almost as if she's affronted or pushing back against this man, this Jewish man, who would speak to her, much less ask her to draw water for him. Her questioning doesn't put off Jesus in the least. He replies, saying that had she known God and known who he was, she would have asked him for the drink. Not only would he give her a drink, but he would give her living water. Again, she questions Jesus, asking, what does this mean? He has no jug to which to pull water from a well. How is he going to offer her anything? And Jesus explains that the water of which he speaks is not water that you drink once and you become thirsty again. He is offering a water that will quench your thirst forever, a water that gives eternal life. And you can almost hear this woman, tired, cast out, weary from life. You can almost hear her quit her questioning and quietly say, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." If you listen closely, her thirst is so real, it's palpable. Give me this water. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, don't we yearn for this living water? This living water that sustains us in droughts or winter storms, through difficult times and joyful ones, through the season of Lent and into the season of Easter. Give me this water. Jesus and the Samaritan woman continue to speak about her life, her husband's, or perhaps more accurately, the lack thereof after a certain number. This woman isn't foolish or stupid by any means, and probably ended up in her position through things outside of her control. But life has been hard on her. And in spite of being dealt a bad hand, she knows that the Messiah is coming. She knows that they are waiting for this redemption, and she speaks to Jesus of this Messiah. And Jesus replies with those familiar words, "I am." Just as God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, so Jesus uses these same words with the woman. "I am. I am he, the one who is speaking to you." And in this moment, her thirst is quenched. She goes back to the town to tell of this man who knows everything about her, to discuss whether this actually could be the Messiah who just quenched her thirst. She leaves her water jug behind because she knows now it is no longer the water that she needs. No longer will she have to draw water only at noon, for she has become whole again with the living water of Jesus. And I ask again, don't we long for that wholeness in our own lives? Isn't our Lenten season about searching out what is broken. Broken in ourselves, or broken with our relationship with God, or broken with one another. And then finding that stream of living water. And while we wait for our hardened hearts to break forth with the living water that fills our lives and nothing else, like nothing else that can. Lent is about going back to the stream. It's going back and asking for that living water, a water that heals, a water that nourishes not only our bodies, but the essence of our being, our souls, a water that gives us life beyond our daily grind. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, is our living water. There will never be a dry well or a drought with what Jesus has to offer. There is no rationing of how much you can have. The living water of Christ is plentiful enough for all to share. Water, water, living water everywhere. It is up to us to drink. Amen.